just got here.
Good afternoon. My name is Owen Egan, and I am the chairman of the Freedom of Information Commission. This is the commission's regular meeting of December 13, 2023. The public may listen to the meeting in real time by following the instructions listed at the top of the commission's meeting agenda, currently posted on the commission's website. In addition, this meeting is being recorded in its entirety. For the benefit of the public, particularly those who may be listening to the meeting by telephone, I'll take a roll call so that the record reflects who is participating today. When I say your name, please indicate that you are present. Mr. Berry, Mr. Einhorn, Mr. Farish, Mr. Fusashi,
here.
Mr. Goldsby,
here.
Mr. Ganswin,
here.
Mr. Hankins,
here.
Mr. Streeter,
here.
And myself, Chairman Owen Egan, present. Similarly, when the commission conducts a vote, it will be done by roll. The first item is consideration of the minutes of the commission's regular meeting, excuse me, November 15th, 2023. Do I hear a motion?
Hello, this is Commissioner Streeter. I move adoption of the minutes of the commission's regular meeting of November 15th, 2023.
Second. Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none. I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Farish.
Yes.
Commissioner Fusashi.
Yes.
Mr. Goldsby.
Yes.
Mr. Ganswin.
Yes.
Mr. Hankins.
Yes.
Mr. Streeter.
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan. Yes. Passes unanimously. Next, we will consider the hearing officer's reports. I will call the docket. If you wish to address the commission on a particular docket number, please let me know when I call it and we will mark it ready. We will take up the cases in the order that they are called. First is FIC 2023-0004, Sergio Correa versus Angel Quiros, Commissioner, State of Connecticut, Department of Correction, et al. Is there anyone here on that matter? I'd entertain a motion. Yes?
You said, repeat that number again?
Is Serge, who are you, sir?
You said 0084?
No, it's 0004. Sergio Carrera. Are you Sergio Carrera?
I apologize.
No problem. Thank you. I'd entertain a motion.
Yeah. Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Streeter, this was a dismissal. The complainant chose not to participate. I move adoption of the hearing officer's report.
Mr. Hankins, second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Farish?
Yes.
Commissioner Fusashi?
Yes.
Commissioner Goldsby?
Yes.
Commissioner Ganswin?
Yes.
Mr. Hankins?
Yes.
Mr. Streeter?
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan, yes. Passes unanimously. Next is docket number FIC 2023-0084, Ira Alston versus Carl Jacobson, Chief Police Department, City of New Haven, et al. Are you there, Mr. Alston?
Yes.
All right. Would you like that marked ready?
Yes.
Thank you. Is there anyone here from the police department or the City of New Haven? Okay. Well, we'll mark that ready, Mr. Alston. You'll be able to argue in a bit. Next is docket number FIC 2023-0099, Isaiah Jones versus Chair, State of Connecticut, Board of Pardons and Paroles, et al. Is there anyone here on that matter? That was a withdrawal.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Streeter, withdrawn and dismissed. Seeing no one present, I move adoption of the hearing officer's report.
Commissioner Hankins, second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll of those in favor. Commissioner Farish?
Yes.
Mr. Fusashi?
Yes.
Mr. Goldsby?
Yes.
Mr. Ganswin?
Yes.
Mr. Hankins?
Yes.
Mr. Streeter?
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan, yes. Passes unanimously. The next matter, FIC 2019-0410, Michael Arano versus Scott Simpson, FOI Compliance Officer, State of Connecticut, University of Connecticut Health Center, et al., has been marked over. Is that correct?
No,
thank you. Next is docket number FIC 2023-0007, Robert Meehan versus Chief Police Department, City of Stamford, et al. Is there anyone here on that matter?
Or Duffy.
Okay. Just state your name for the record, please.
Attorney Kim Ziggich.
Thank you, Attorney Ziggich. Is there anyone else here on that matter? Would you like to be heard, or would you like us to act on that, Attorney Ziggich?
I was here if the complainant was here. So if he's not here, I'm fine.
Okay. I'd entertain a motion.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Commissioner Streeter, this was a dismissal. The complainant's not here. There's no objection to the respondent. I move adoption of the hearing officer's report.
Commissioner Hankins, second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll of those in favor. Commissioner Farish.
Yes.
Commissioner Fuzeshi.
Yes.
Commissioner Goolsbee.
Yes.
Commissioner Ganswin.
Yes.
Commissioner Hankins.
Yes.
Commissioner Streeter.
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan, yes. Passes unanimously. Thank you, Attorney Ziggich. Thank you for attending. Good to see you.
You too.
Next is docket number FIC 2023-0089, Jennifer Feroces versus Mayor City of Derby et al. Is there anyone here on that matter? This was a withdrawal.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Streeter, this was withdrawn and dismissed. I move adoption of the hearing officer's report.
Commissioner Hankins, second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call. Those in favor, Commissioner Farish.
Yes.
Mr. Fuzeshi.
Yes.
Mr. Goolsbee.
Yes.
Mr. Ganswin.
Yes.
Mr. Hankins.
Yes.
Mr. Streeter.
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan, yes. Passes unanimously. Next is docket number FIC 2023-0090, Claire Howard versus Mayor, City of Middletown et al. Is there anyone here on that matter? Attorney Claire Howard, correct?
Yes.
Is there anyone here for the City of Middletown?
Certainly, Mr. Chairman. Attorney Michael Rose, we're here, but we take no position on the findings.
Do you wish to be heard, Attorney Howard?
No, Your Honor, I wasn't sure if there's findings was going to be present in the position, so.
So we can act on it?
Okay.
And entertain a motion?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Streeter, seeing that both the complainant and the respondent have no objection to the hearing officer's report, I move adoption of the hearing officer's report.
Commissioner Hankins, second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Farish.
Yes.
Commissioner Fuzeshi.
Yes.
Commissioner Goolsbee.
Yes.
Commissioner Ganswin.
Yes.
Commissioner Hankins.
Yes.
Mr. Streeter.
Yes.
Myself, Owen Egan, yes. Passes unanimously. Thank you. Have a great day. Thank you. Next is docket number FIC 2023-0094, Corinne Bennett versus Assessor Town of Thomaston et al. Is there anyone here on that matter? Yes. Your name?
Corinne Bennett.
Would you like to be heard? Okay, so we'll mark that ready, Ms. Bennett. Thank you. Is there anyone here from the town of Thomaston?
Yes, Attorney Mike Ryback for the respondents.
Mike Ryback?
R-I-B-A-K, yes.
Thank you. All right, we'll mark that ready. Next is docket number FIC 2023-0191, Hugh Bradford versus Commissioner, State of Connecticut, Department of Public Health et al. Is there anyone here on that matter?
Yes.
This was a withdrawal. Do you wish to be heard? Okay, what's your name?
Bradford.
Okay. We'll mark that ready. Is there anyone here from the State of Connecticut Department of Public Health?
Yes, Assistant Attorney General.
I'm sorry, your last name?
Bannon, B-A-N-N-O-N.
Attorney Bannon, thank you. All right, next is docket number FIC 2023-0240, Donald Thomas versus Chairman, Board of Education, Bridgeport Public Schools et al. Is there anyone here on that matter? I'd entertain a motion.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Streeter, the complainant had failed to appear and this was dismissed. I move adoption of the hearing officer's report.
Thank you, Mr. Hackett, second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Farish?
Yes.
Commissioner Fuzeshi?
Yes.
Mr. Goolsbee?
Yes.
Mr. Ganswin?
Yes.
Mr. Hankins?
Yes.
Mr. Streeter?
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan, yes. Passes unanimously. Next is FIC 2023-0254, Neil Godfrey versus Matt Ritter, Representative, State of Connecticut, General Assembly, House of Representatives et al. Is there anyone here on that matter to withdraw? I'd entertain a motion.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Commissioner Streeter, as you mentioned, withdrawn and dismissed. I move adoption of the hearing report.
Commissioner Hankins, second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion on that matter? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Farish?
Yes.
Commissioner Kuzeshi?
Yes.
Commissioner Goolsbee?
Yes.
Commissioner Gansmer?
Yes.
Commissioner Hankins?
Yes.
Commissioner Streeter?
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan? Yes. Passes unanimously. Last is FIC 2023-0270, Jacques Patineau versus Town Manager, Town of Groton, et al. This was a withdrawal as well. Is there anyone here on that matter? Entertain a motion.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Commissioner Streeter, as you mentioned, withdrawn and dismissed. I move adoption of the hearing on support.
Commissioner Hankins, second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Farish?
Yes.
Commissioner Kuzeshi?
Yes.
Commissioner Goolsbee?
Yes.
Commissioner Gansmer?
Yes.
Commissioner Hankins?
Yes.
Commissioner Streeter?
Yes.
And myself, Paul Egan, yes, passes unanimously. All right. Before we consider the cases, I will ask the Executive Director, Colleen Murphy, to please make the usual notes.
Sure. As indicated, these proceedings are being recorded in their entirety, so if you need to request a recording, we will put that recording on our website very soon after this meeting. Anyone should have any difficulty accessing that, please just contact the commission. And second, pursuant to our regulations, oral arguments 10 minutes per side, and I'll keep track of that for the parties.
Thank you. We seem to be competing with a party over here, so you might have to speak up. Somebody's raising their hand. Yes, sir.
I believe you missed the case FIC 2023-0250.
Item number 6, Mr. Chairman, I think.
Yeah, that's not on the docket. Yeah, it's not on the docket. That'll be item 6. We're only right now on item 2, which is the docket.
Okay, so that's coming up on 6.
Yeah, that'll be after we complete the docket, and then we'll go through. Apologize.
So these are the cases, yes. Mm-hmm. Thank you. All right, so the first matter that was marked ready was FIC 2023-0084, Ira Alston versus Carl Jacobson, Chief Police Department, City of New Haven, et al. Someone wanted to be heard on that?
Mr. Alston?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Nobody's here from the City of New Haven, so... Mr. Alston, would you like to begin?
Yes.
Please. Thank you.
I am going to object to paragraphs number 7, 8, 9, and 10 in the hearing officer's recommendation of the hearing officer's report. The record should reflect that the respondent's witness testified and the hearing officer found that the respondents did not receive a copy of the complainant January 12, 2023 Freedom of Information Act request or his January 17, 2023 Freedom of Information Act request. It is also clear from the record that by letter dated March 30, 2023 from this commission, the respondent was sent and received a copy of the complainant Freedom of Information Act request as of April 4th, 2023. In a letter dated April 7th, 2023 to the FOI administrator here at the Connecticut Department of Corrections for the complainant, the respondents requested that the complainant resend his January 17, 2023 Freedom of Information Act request for certain arrest records of Shayuna Early, Bobby Blower, and Angel Ridge. The record is also clear that the complainant resent that request in a request dated May 10, 2023 that the respondents acknowledged on May 18, 2023. At the time of the Freedom of Information Act hearing on September 22nd, 2023, the respondents have not granted or denied the complainant May 10th, 2023 request. During the hearing, the respondent witness testified that they are currently reviewing responsive documents to the May 10th, 2023 FOI request for redactions. On November 20th, 2023, the complainant received redacted documents purportedly responsive to the complainant May 10, 2023 FOI request. There was no privilege log submitted with the redacted reports detailing the reasons why the documents was redacted or the specific portions of the FOI act or laws that will support the respondent's redactions. Therefore, I request that this matter be referred back to the hearing officer for further fact-finding regarding the appropriateness of the respondent's redactions.
Thank you. Thank you, Attorney Hyde.
Yeah, Attorney Hyde, I was the hearing officer in this matter. I think the issue is that the complainant's subsequent requests happened after the complaint was filed in the current matter, so it's outside the jurisdiction of this request and this complaint. So I think he would have to bring forth a new complaint in order to address what it is he's concerned about now.
Sir, did you hear that?
Can I respond to that?
Sure.
If that was the issue, then it should have been brought up at the FOI hearing. All these matters was addressed at the FOI hearing, and the hearing officer let the matter go through. So I think that to say now that I got to resubmit a whole new request based on what he just testified to, I think that it would be inappropriate since the matter was already addressed at the FOI hearing. The matter is the appropriateness of the redactions. At the hearing, I think the FOI report is actually premature because he should have waited until they submitted the documents. He acknowledged in paragraph 9 that they testified that they are reviewing the documents for potential redactions. So if that was the case, he should have waited until they actually submitted the documents with the privilege log or ordered them to submit a privilege log sheet with the documents that they believe should be redacted. That never happened.
Attorney Hyde.
Yeah. So the complainant made a request, and the respondents never received that request. And then the first time the respondents received that request was when it was attached to the complaint. So at the time of the complaint, there was no denial. I didn't know that. I couldn't have known that or gotten those facts until we went to a hearing. And at the hearing, this all was brought to light, and that's why it's in the report. And then I note after that, they still tried to look for these records and fulfill the request. And now he is complaining about what they did subsequent to that, which, again, is outside the jurisdiction of my jurisdiction in this complaint.
Well, I think the request that made, can I respond to that real quick?
Yes, Mr. Olson.
All right. What he said is true, but my point is this. If he believed that the request is outside his jurisdiction, he should have said that at the hearing. He dealt with two requests at the hearing, a January 17th, 2023 request and a May 10th, 2023 request. These was all dealt at the hearing. Now, the May 10th, 2023 request, they responded to. They said that they're going to review. They have the documents. They are reviewing the documents for potential redactions. And now that's where the problem lies. The argument is that they over-redacted. There is no privilege laws with the redaction. So I think it's not outside the jurisdiction of this commission on the May 10th, 2023 request because it was dealt with at the hearing.
Yes. So, Mr. Olson, Commissioner Streeter, so it was noted in the hearing officer's report that, you know, that along with submitting the January 17th report, you did submit the May 23rd two additional requests. I think that's just what you're discussing now is some of the May 10th, but to our knowledge, there's no appeal to the commission based on the May 10th request. So you
went
to
the May 10th request.
Excuse me, Mr. Alston. I'm talking.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you was done.
No, I was trying to say that. So the issue is that there was the hearing that was held dealt with your appeal to the commission based on the January 17th, not regarding the May 10th, 2023.
I didn't know they didn't receive the January 17th request until they sent me the April 4th the April 7th letter. Then they said that they didn't receive the request to rescind it. So the January 17th, 2023 and the May 10th, 2023 is the same request. They just told me to rescind it, so I rescinded it. They acknowledged it, and when we dealt with that at the hearing. So I think that anything prior that happened prior to May 10th is irrelevant because he dealt with the May 10th request at the hearing. And this is what we're dealing with right now. We're dealing with the May 10th, 2023 request.
Attorney Murphy.
My impression is that the hearing officer was simply trying to gather the evidence at the hearing to understand what transpired after the January 17th request and, you know, probably necessarily got into what happened later on down the road. But I think the decision is correct that that for what was being considered at that hearing in September, we really didn't have any role in it because they had not yet received the request at the time Mr. Alston filed the complaint regarding the January 17th request. So I'm gathering you were just trying to gather the facts to determine what was going on. So that's probably why the later request came up.
But I'm not sure I'm hitting on what Mr. Alston is saying now, but he earlier said that they responded and there were responsive records that we were reviewing for potential redactions. Is that correct, Attorney Knight?
My understanding at the hearing is that there were additional requests that once they received the request after the complaint, they then tried to fulfill the request. And then I believe there were additional requests in that May request that were not part of the original request.
I'm reading paragraph 9. It says, it is also found that the respondents have since located hundreds of pages of records responsive to the complainant's January 17th request.
I'm sorry, yes.
And are in the process of reviewing such records for potential redactions. And I listened to what Mr. Alston said, and what he was saying is maybe this should have been continued to give them an opportunity to state what they wanted to redact so that he would be able to then respond to that. Because there was this snafu where they said we didn't get the request.
I understand his position, but I'm bound by the complaint. And at the time of the complaint, there was no denial, so there was no violation. They didn't receive the January 17th request until after the complaint was filed.
Okay.
So in essence, they didn't get a request.
I understand.
So there's nothing I can do about that until or unless a new complaint is filed.
So he could potentially, I don't know if his time has run out, he could have filed a new complaint based on what he received, if the redactions weren't appropriate. If he believed the redactions were appropriate.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
I have one question.
Yes.
That point you just made is a little bit important to me. Is he within time to refile?
Right now, probably not, but there's nothing preventing a subsequent request. He could always ask for the records again, get the response, and reinitiate a complaint.
So did you hear that, Mr. Alston?
Refile to get the information that he's trying to get and then clarify it's privileged and not redacted. The remedy remains open to him to refile and get that same information.
Yes.
Mr. Alston, do you understand that?
Yes.
You may have to refile the same request just because of the mix-up. Your January 17th request didn't come until late. Okay.
Oh,
so the remedy here is.
Yeah, but I was standing on my argument that
Mr. Alston, before you make your argument, I just want you to understand. It seems like the remedy here is to just refile, and then you'll get your opportunity to argue that if there are redacted records that you think you should have received. Okay.
Yeah, but that remedy, that would take too long. I'm on a time constraint. So that remedy, I heard what the commission said, but I would stand on my argument that I don't think that this matter is outside the jurisdiction of this commission.
Thank you.
All right.
Commissioner.
Yes, Commissioner Goldsmith.
Attorney, can you explain if you recall anything at the hearing or what evidence at the hearing supported the fact that they didn't get the request? Because I'm a little perplexed. Because if I was in his position, I'd be frustrated too. He sent it twice, and now he's here. He talked about it, and he still doesn't have his documents, and now he's got to go back and file it again. I understand your limitations based off of the time frame, but I'm just sympathetic to his frustration. So was there, I assume there was sufficient evidence at the hearing to support that they didn't receive it?
Yes, the respondents brought the witness who is in charge of the FOI process for them, for the department, and it was his testimony that they did not receive the requests. And then when they got the complaint, they reached out to try and help the complainant out.
And you've dealt with these respondents in the past, so you would agree that testimony was sufficient?
Yes, I have no reason to disbelieve the testimony.
So, Mr. Alston, I empathize. This is Commissioner Goldsby. So, I empathize with your position, and so I think the commissioners understand what you're saying. It's just under the confines of the law, there are only certain things that we can do. So, you'll still be able to get your records, but it just may be slightly delayed. But at the same time, because they are in the process of already looking to comply with the January request, you may get it earlier. You hopefully will get some documents. It's just the privileged aspect of it that you'll have to wait on. So I hope that's clear to you.
I understand, but may I just say one thing about what he said, because the respondents also testified that they didn't receive the January 12th request that the commission sent to them. So they claiming that they didn't receive my request and that they didn't receive the request when it was attached to the complaint from the commission.
Attorney Hyde.
That is true. The testimony was that one of the pages was not in the collection that was sent out to the respondents when they reviewed the complaint, which is why they had to reach out to get the details of what specifically he was requesting, because those details, I don't believe, were in the January 17th request, so that they then knew what they had to look for. But again, that was credible testimony that I received under oath, so I'm not sure. I have no reason to think that they were not being truthful in that statement.
But his point is that they didn't receive his mail and they didn't receive our mail.
As a hearing officer, I've seen this in the past where requests have gone out and they have not been received, and it happens more often than I would have thought before I started here.
Okay. Any further discussion? Well, thank you, Mr. Alston.
All right.
We're going to vote on this now. I'd entertain a motion.
Commissioner Streeter, I move adoption of the hearing on support.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion? Thank you. Mr. Alston, I think Commissioner Goldsby said it correctly. We understand your frustration. We hope that you don't have that problem in the future. And we'll be watchful of it.
All right.
The motion's been made and seconded. Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Farish?
Yes.
Commissioner Fizeshi?
Yes.
Commissioner Goldsby?
Yes.
Commissioner Ganswin?
Yes.
Mr. Hankins?
Yes.
Mr. Streeter?
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan, yes. Passes unanimously. Thank you, Mr. Alston.
All right.
Take care. Docket number FIC 2023-0094, Corinne Bennett versus Assessor Town of Thomaston et al. Ms. Bennett. Will the parties please identify themselves for the record? Starting with you.
Mm-hmm. Attorney Mike Ryback for the Town of Thomaston and the Thomaston Assessor.
Mike Ryback, Senior Town Attorney.
Both Mike Ryback. Thank
Junior
you.
Senior.
Thank you. All right. Ms. Bennett, would you like to begin, please?
Decided I wanted you at this time, and then I decided it would be very rude if I didn't come.
Thank you for coming.
I want to say thank you, and the town as well. The experience has been so powerful, and to be here and be with these people, I can't say enough. I wouldn't have missed it for the world, but I do want to say why I'm here. It's not trite. I think freedom on every level, whether it's small, large, or in between, is vital, and I'm proud that the opportunity is here, so 10 minutes are going to fly. I just want to say quickly, I've been in real estate all my life. I was raised by a builder and got into real estate in my 20s, opened up my own brokerage, and I really, really do know real estate value, and when something's off, I know it. So I bought a few pieces of property in the town that we're working on, and I knew it off. So I asked the assessor for comparables. That's the only way you figure out what a house is worth, fair market value, apples and apples. And I was sent a sheet of sales for the last year from October 20 to 21 was the revaluation of everything, condos, houses, land. And I sent an email back and I said that really does not enlighten me as to the value of my home. I'm trying to understand how they came up with this value. And the email I got back was that no further information will be given to you unless otherwise directed by the courts. So I started to study Connecticut law about the public's right to their understanding of the value of their property. And it said the following shall be available for public inspection in the assessor's office. Any criteria, guidelines, price schedules, or statement of procedures used in the revaluation by the assessor or the reval company that the assessor designated to perform the mass appraisal. So I said, okay, I asked the wrong question, so I'm going to ask it the correct way. So I sent out an email. I wish to request a copy of any criteria, guidelines, price schedules, or statements of procedures used in the revaluation process. And I got an email back that he was in touch with the town attorney and FOI. And I went, my word. And I said, okay. And I said, who's FOI? And so I said, I think I need to talk to the selectman. Just felt like it was getting uncomfortable. So I had a wonderful meeting with the selectman. He says, you have to fill out an FOI form, and I'll bring it down to the assessor. So we filled out the form just the way I requested, the guidelines and everything. And what I got was the reevaluation company's methods, their contract with the town, the townwide sales, and I read it. And I found fascinating things in there. And one thing was, well, it cost $120,000 of the taxpayers' money, but that's fair, I'm sure. And it said in their contract, the original or a copy of all records and computations, that's a very dangerous word to use, you'll find out why, made by the contractor in connection with any appraisal of property in the town at all times shall be the property of the town. And upon completion of the revaluation is turned over to the town. So if I read that correctly, once everything is done, that information belongs to the town. And then it says the contractor will turn over all the appraisals, all the documentation, et cetera, including the software programs, and they shall become the property of the assessor. Oops, forget about it. And thank you, Attorney Hyde. Amazing. Again, it's a privilege to be around people. He conducted our meeting. He put in the final letter sent to me, public records mean any recorded data or information relating to the conduct of the public's business prepared, owned, used, and received or retained by a public agency or to which a public agency is entitled to receive a copy of by law or contract. Those are public records. And then the Connecticut statute says access to public records. All records maintained or kept on file by any public agency, whether or not such records are required, can be inspected by the public. Excuse me. It's so dry in here. Again, the contract from the Reval company. The contractor shall develop and explain separately each depreciation on the property record card and her worksheet. So these are all commitments. Who owns this stuff? The town owns the stuff. And then it said, finally, wrapping up, the valuation methods appropriate to the class of property were computed on a property by property basis. I said, that's what I'm looking for. I said, the valuation methods. So I said, okay, I read the manual. I've got this. I'm going to send out another FOI form, and I'm going to say, may I please have the valuation computations? Don't use the word computations, because then the terminology starts flying around. So the email comes back. No, valuation calculations are inherent in the CAMA system, and they're considered proprietary. Oh boy, I learned a whole new terminology. I said, don't use the word computations. I learned what proprietary is. Sorry. And then words started being put in my mouth. A copy of the letter from the town attorney. We are in receipt of the Freedom of Information Act complaint in which a taxpayer seeks calculations performed by revaluation assessment software. I would not know what to do with an algorithm if you gave me one. All I was trying to find out is, what is the basis of the value on my property that I'm being taxed on? But once these words start flying around, same thing, the calculations. And again, I respect the letter from the commission. The commission has had a line of cases holding that the formula or set of calculations that an independent contractor uses to establish the assessment is proprietary. And then I read all the case studies, and the term trade secret comes up. If I was going to take this information and go make money on it, it really gets kind of crazy. So then it was corrected. We had a wonderful meeting with the town and Attorney Hyde. We came up here and things started to clear up. And it is found that the complainant was in real estate. That's a person that's already tried this. I read one of the case studies. She never asked for the wrong thing. And she was not given any information because of the terminology put in her mouth. She never used it. I checked it. This refers to me, the final letter. At the hearing in this matter, in her post-hearing brief, the complainant stated that she was not requesting, and I specifically said, I don't want any codes, I don't want any mathematical calculations or trade secrets or software used in the process. I simply want to understand my tax card and the values on the tax card. And again, the wording comes up in the brief, but the good news is this. Even at the meeting with Attorney Hyde's encouragement, I clarified what I'm looking for. I sent out an email to the assessor. I underlined all the numbers and calculations on the property tax card and finally understand the tax card. But wow, I have to go through all this to do that. Do you know I've gotten calls from people in the town that listened to our case online? I'm not talking to strangers, believe me, but it shouldn't be this hard. And it shouldn't even be, you shouldn't even be bothered with it. So I just want you to know that the terminology, I think, gets played with too much so that people are just not given information. So thank you. Because I wouldn't have gotten this far if I hadn't, hadn't come. I'm dangerous now. And I thank my town attorneys as well. Did I go over 10 minutes?
I could have told you if you did.
Okay, you did.
Do you want us to do anything with this decision, or are you saying you accept the decision, you just wanted us to know the hardship that you encountered?
I understand your limitations once this verbiage comes up. I think it's going to come up more because I think Connecticut people, I've lost half my family to the South and I have nothing against it, but I'm not going. I'm trying to keep my family here. And people are getting very frustrated. And they want knowledge, if nothing else. So it's going to keep coming up. And if we can guide the process and not let people be dead-ended simply because a word comes up and the terminology goes haywire and words get put in their mouth, I don't think there's anything else you could have done. I respect what you did. I just think it's important for me to verbalize why it happened, and maybe that'll help what's coming down the road.
I agree. It's good that you explained what you've explained to us, but do you protest or contest this decision, or are you accepting it? The decision is a dismissal, so you lose.
I contest it.
You do.
Because words were put in my mouth. Intentions were put in my mouth.
And so you're still looking for documentation.
They say there is none. They literally say the only thing you can have is the tax card and this file. That's all you're going to get. There are no, even though the contracts from Tyler say there's more documents that were handed over. There's records that were handed over. And
okay, I just wanted to understand your position.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Counsel?
The respondents ask the commission to adopt this hearing decision. We think that it aptly states the proposition that the FOI does not require the creation of new documents or the furnishing of explanations or a sit-down explanation, good policy though they might be from a taxpayer or customer service, if you will, type standpoint. Those are outside of the FOI process, and finding 17 in particular highlights that. The computations, as the decision finds, are on the tax card, and it seems that this case boiled down to, at the hearing, the request for an explanation as to what was on that card. And as the hearing decision finds, those were supplied. Now, if the complaint is that the tax system in Connecticut is opaque and difficult to understand, the terminology is hard to follow, regular people can't follow it, that's an argument for the state legislature for an amendment to the tax code. That would be the proper venue, state senator, local representative in the state legislature, those kinds of people would hear it. But we request that you adopt this decision because we do think that we've supplied everything that we have. Those computations and calculations were on the card. And if there's another way of doing this that anyone, the complainant or anyone else, would like to see done, that's for the state legislature to take up in amending the revaluation statutes.
Is Attorney Hyde here? How are you? Do you wish to comment on what either of the parties have said?
No, I stand by the report. I understand the complainant's frustration, but I took the evidence that was given to me, these are the findings. I think that, as the complainant stated, that it was more of an explanation that she was looking for, and the respondents, they gave all responsive records, and that was it.
No, I'm ready to move it for adoption.
All right. Is there any discussion? Any discussion? I want to thank both the parties for coming and arguing. I appreciate your input. I understand your frustration. I'm glad you had some satisfaction. I'm glad you understand the card. I probably wouldn't understand the card either. I mean, both towns have a big job to do when they're doing their reviews. It can be difficult. Even though what you asked for seemed to be very simple. Mm-hmm. And I know it was frustrating that you didn't get what you originally asked for. Okay. All right, with that, I'd entertain a motion.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Commissioner Street, I'll move adoption of the hearing list report.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Farish?
Yes.
Commissioner Fizeshi?
Yes.
Commissioner Goldsby?
Yes.
Mr. Ganslin?
Yes.
Mr. Hankins?
Yes.
Mr. Streeter?
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan, yes. Passes unanimously. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks,
Attorney Hankins. Next is docket number FIC 2023-0191, Hugh Bradford versus Commissioner, State of Connecticut, Department of Public Health. Ms. Bradford? Too bad.
Good afternoon.
Thank you. Would you please identify yourself for the record?
Hugh Bradford, Connecticut,
06162. Thank you. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Elizabeth Bannon, Assistant Attorney General, on behalf of the Respondents Department of Public Health.
Thank you. Ms. Bradford, would you like to begin, please?
Yes. I had a hearing 2 weeks ago, I believe it's November 29th. And my problem is I have been trying to get the accident report and the investigation report on an incident that happened at a nursing home that's called Advanced Center for Nursing and Rehabilitation, located at New Haven. So the accident happened in 2020. Basically, December 30th. December 30, that's the, or November 30. So anyway, it's a 2020 accident. And my husband was a patient in the nursing home. Basically, when he fell off the bed, I immediately know something is wrong because he does not have the ability to move himself off the bed. He was totally disabled, basically paralyzed from neck down due to the injury on the C4 spinal cord. So that's why.
Mr. Chairman, I apologize. I'm obviously sympathetic to our story, but we have nothing before us with that. We only can really discuss the withdrawal of the complaint.
Okay.
What we have.
I got it.
Through the chairman.
So what I think, Commissioner Street,
I have a few.
So he's asking you to explain. You withdrew this action, correct?
Yes, I did.
So the question is, why did you withdraw?
Because last hearing, at the end, I was told, would you like to withdraw? So I was just trying to be nice. I said, if I don't withdraw, do you give me the report? They said, no, you have to appeal at the federal court. But they gave me 2 pages, which I read. I don't have time to read the whole thing at the hearing. That's towards the end. But at the hearing, they gave me the last minute, they gave me 2 pages for the, I believe, one is the a letter from Rebecca Halbert to the Alice Martinez, who is the supervising nurse consultant. Anyway, those 2 pages shows this accident. The investigation is over. On the letter is dated April 6, 2021. On the next page, they have Department of Health and Human Services. That's a report. Basically, there's a brief about what happened to the report. That has this accident completed February 22nd, 2021. And here I am, you know, it's 2023. Almost I have been asking for the report. So what happened is on this page, if you read at the bottom for the page, it says once the investigation is over, nursing home, this piece of paper is disposable within 14 days. Basically, the 14 days you can release these pages. And then if it's not nursing home, then it's 90 days. In any way, the report should be available like March 3rd, 2021, 2 years. 2.5 years later, I'm still here begging for the report. So my question is, there is something wrong when my attorney requesting the report and I gave a number, CT-29316, which I learned last hearing, whenever you have a CT in the front, that means this is a federally involved investigation. The report I should apply for will be the federal government instead of a state government. That's the reason that I withdrew, because they say no matter what you say, you can't get the report from us. When I try to get the report from the federal FOI, they basically, they are saying that the local engagement played the essential role on the processing of your claim. I was wondering what is the role for the state of Connecticut FOI? Do they the one helping to decide whether I should get report, I should not get the report, and which part should I get the report? What's the role inside? Because it seems like there's always something stopped there that I cannot get the report. It's only a basically a simple accident. My husband was totally 100% paralyzed from neck down, and while he fall off the bed, I was doing a civil lawsuit. But during that time, number one, I'm not allowed to go to the nursing home to look after him or go there to have a visit. Totally not allowed. When I have this thing heard on the phone, I need something to grab on to file the lawsuit, and I just can't because this thing is up to now.
So
after 2 years statutory limitations, I did file the last minute and then applied for the.
But with regard to this request for records, you had a request for records and you withdrew it. And it sounds like you feel like you were.
That's the thing why I'm here. It sounds like my mistake.
So but by withdrawing it, you took away the jurisdiction of this body to hear your complaint. And it sounds like you have a lot of complaints. So I don't know whether you need to refile.
It's not a lot of complaint. It's just the report.
I don't mean to say.
I only want the report.
Yeah, I'm not criticizing you. That's how we deal with complaints that are made. Everybody files a complaint. It's a written complaint. This is not right. I'm not being treated right here. I need these documents. That's all I mean by that. I don't mean to offend you. But you withdrew this. So you, by withdrawing it, you took away our ability to decide on whether it was right or wrong, whether you should have received the document or not. You took away our ability to do that because
I understand what you are saying.
I think what you're saying is you felt like you were forced to do it. You were forced to withdraw. Is that what you're saying?
I won't say I forced, but at the end, the hearing officer asked me, that is a surprise. For me, it's like, he said, would you like to withdraw?
You didn't have to withdraw. You could have kept going. Even if you thought
I didn't know that.
Okay.
I thought he said, no matter what you say, we're not going to give you the report.
The hearing officer said that to you?
Yeah, he said you have to apply at federal FOI
okay.
level.
We'll hear from
not
the hearing officer.
Here.
We'll hear from the hearing officer in a minute. Is there anything else you want to say about the withdrawal? That's what we really have to focus on here now, rather than the complaint itself.
I asked Jennifer Miller, who is the ombudsman.
Yes.
Yeah. She said,
you really can't
talk about
that.
Yeah, okay. All right.
How about, Commissioner Hankins, maybe Attorney Bannon can enlighten us.
So we're going to hear from the attorney on the other side, okay?
Okay. Certainly. This was a request by Ms. Bradford for documents, as she indicated, that were part of an investigation done by the department when it was wearing essentially two hats, both a state hat and a federal hat, which brings it under federal jurisdiction. So our position was ultimately that the state itself cannot produce these reports. It's prohibited from doing so by federal law. However, Ms. Bradford could request these reports directly from the federal agency, the Centers for Medicaid and Medicare, otherwise known as CMS, which my understanding is she did do that and did receive the reports she was seeking. There was a full evidentiary hearing. I brought forth two witnesses. We put several documents into evidence. Ms. Bradford put several documents into evidence, and it was explained to her that she would, if she was contesting what she received from CMS, she would have to pursue that through the federal FOIA process versus through the state process. The hearing officer did not tell her that she couldn't get them, but did ask her whether she, based on that, she would withdraw her complaint. So that was my recollection of the process. There was a full evidentiary hearing with witness testimony and documents. And with respect to the two documents that she indicated she received, these are two documents that CMS authorizes the department to produce. The department did produce them to her well in advance of the hearing. They also were entered into evidence during the hearing itself.
Can I just ask one question?
Sure.
And look at this. I understand that we have certain authority under the Connecticut law, federal government has certain authority under federal law, and you sort of act as an agent in between sometimes on behalf of the federal government, and then, but under their rules. But is there anything else that you had as an agent for the federal government that you could have given away? Or I mean, I'm just a little confused. How do you decide where you're an agent, where you're not, and then she can't get her documents?
Sure.
And then, because that gap somehow, it falls through the hole there.
Sure. So her request was specifically for two reports, which the federal agency, CMS, specifically said the department was not authorized to produce. That said, CMS said, here's certain documents you may produce because they're performed strictly under state authority. There's no federal component. One was the letter that Ms. Bradford referred to, and one is something called a 2567 or 2537, which is essentially a list of deficiencies, which also CMS has given the state authority to produce. The department produced those to her despite the fact that they weren't specifically requested in her FOIA request. Correct. So they did that because they had them and were told they could produce them. The two documents she specifically requested, we were specifically told that federal law prohibits us from producing those. Those must be requested directly from the federal agency, CMS.
And at the moment, I'm fine. I don't know if there's ask question.
Attorney Hyde.
You're
really, this is going to be a habit.
Hearing officer in this matter.
Can you explain what happened?
Sure.
So
after nearly a 3-hour evidentiary hearing, the respondents had explained their position as to the federal nature of the investigation, what was allowable, what wasn't, and where the complainant could go to contest the redactions of those two reports that she did receive from CMS. The complainant seemed to understand that and appreciate that information. Additionally, there was extensive testimony by the respondents' witnesses that provided sort of additional details about sort of the process, what happens, and there was one detail in particular that the complainant was interested in, which was how I believe the investigation was initiated, and she got that information as well, which she also seemed appreciative of. So at the end of this hearing, I said to the complainant, you don't have to do this, but I'm wondering, given what you know now, would you be willing to withdraw your complaint? And again, you don't have to, at which point she said yes. And then there was a little more discussion, and then I said, but to be clear, you're withdrawing your complaint. And she said yes, and with that, I ended the hearing, and I thanked the parties.
Thank you.
Can I add something?
One second.
The second page.
One minute, please. Does anybody else have any questions? Okay. Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
As long as it has nothing to do with the case at hand, it has to do with the withdrawal. I don't want you to just start reading from a report, Mr. Chair. That's not acceptable.
So we're dealing with the withdrawal of your case. You just heard from the hearing officer what had happened. He offered you the opportunity to withdraw, but he said that you did not have to withdraw. That's what he has recalled.
And just so I can explain, so you're rebutting what he just said. So the only thing you can really talk about now is what he just said. We've already moved on from the other issues. So it has to do with the withdrawal. You can't add more to what you've already spoken.
So basically the hearing all about against this CTFOI is my fault because I withdrawn.
It's not a fault.
Right?
It's not a fault. I think you made a decision, according to the hearing officer, you made a decision listening to the evidence that you heard and the arguments about the law. And then there was some direction that was given to you on how to get the records through the federal agency, which it sounds like you appreciated, and you went that route. I can see a lot of attorneys doing that exact same thing. So I don't think it's your fault. I don't think you should look at it as a negative. I think you just responded to the information that was there and presented at the hearing. And so you withdrew. You said, okay, I'm going to withdraw and I'm going to present it. I think that's what you did, and I'm going to present it to the federal body. Isn't that what you did?
I guess, I guess my question is not answered. What is the role of Connected CT in terms of providing me my record? Because it said local engagement made essential role. So that I'm just asking in terms of providing me, you said apply from the federal government. And then what is the remedy? Basically, I have been trying and the FOI office attorney, staff attorney has been saying, well, it's still under the investigation. That's a year, 3 months later, it's still actually is already completed February 2021. By May 2022, they still tell my attorney this case under CT whatever 29316 that it's still under investigation. So that stopped me from asking for the report because it's ongoing. And now I got 4 months to file reopen my civil case. And I'm still waiting for the report because without the report, it's like either hearsay or I just self-claim there is a, such a thing. I need a report. During the COVID time, I don't have any information. No place allow you to go. You don't see anybody. So that's why the report is very important. And I'm just asking whether there is any remedy. Because the initial late is not my fault.
Attorney Murphy?
If they're federal records governed by a federal agency, which I don't know the ins and outs of all the statutes here, but we are, when you ask what our role is, we can only rule related to state agencies. And under the federal government, there's no similar appeal process like this. You may have to speak to somebody about pursuing it. You typically have to go to court in the federal if you don't get access to records. It's just a matter that we have very limited jurisdiction here.
Ma'am, this is Commissioner Hankins. You said you had an attorney also? You have an attorney?
That attorney dropped the case after for so long.
Okay.
I have 2 months. The statutory limitation will stop. I don't have anything. So that's why he dropped the case. I cannot find another attorney due to this late. They always say our office policy
okay,
shows that we can take a case that you have 2 months to allow us to do a case. We don't have.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Commissioner Goldsby.
Commissioner Goldsby. So I think I have one question for you, and I empathize with you because I can understand where some of the frustration is. I think it seems you probably understand better now sort of what's going on. My only question to you is, did you request specifically from CMS the documents that you were looking for? Because based on testimony from their attorney, it sounds like there are documents that they had the ability to give you under state jurisdiction, and those were given to you. But the documents that you requested were within CMS federal. So did you go to them and request documents through them? Because if I'm hearing you correctly, it sounds like you went directly to the Federal Freedom of Information Commission, almost as if you filed the complaint with them. That's how I'm understanding what you're saying. But if you go to them and tell them you're making a complaint about a state issue, that's probably why they told you to come back to the state. So did you request documents from CMS?
Did. December 7th, just a week ago, I did. I did send, and eventually they sent me the correct link so that I can get online to do my application. everything submitted. The thing is, I got this 1 month. I need to file motion to reopen my case. And I'm still waiting.
Yeah, I understand. So it sounds like you've gotten your remedy, at least as of where you are now. So we're limited in what we can do here, ma'am. I think that's where we are. I understand your time constraints. I think we're very empathetic. But you've requested the documents, and so the only thing you can do now is wait for the documents to come in and see if when they come in that gives you enough time to file your case. But there's only certain things that we can do. It's not that we don't care and no one's putting any fault on you. You didn't do anything wrong. We were trying to, it seems like, kind of give you some additional information that might be helpful to you. And that's why you were asked to withdraw your complaint based off of the circumstances. So I hope that makes sense.
I understand what you are saying. I'm coming here because if I know what I'm going to say, useless. I won't come. Right? Wasting time. I have to take a day off work, drive so far from Milford to here. It's so hard to find a parking.
We appreciate you being here.
And the thing is, the
hearing officer gave you valuable information. He did offer you the opportunity to go forward, but it sounds like you would have lost because there were materials that would be governed by federal government, not by us. So you're in the wrong forum, is what they were trying to say. So to facilitate this, you withdrew it. But I don't know if we can do any more. And I'm understanding your plight. You need to get this done in 2 months because your statute of limitations is going to run. You do have to find an attorney that can help you with that. That's primary.
I'm able to. Everything is the last minute. I'm still waiting. How can I hire an attorney? Mm-hmm. When I have a report, that's my plan. I will hire the attorney. But you got to give them a case. They can make money. You can't just give them a case that here's the report. The report, 8 pages.
If she hadn't withdrawn it and this case had come to us, this would have taken a lot less. We've already decided this. I really think we should move on to adoption of the hearing officer's report.
I'm sorry, I didn't quite understand you. If I didn't withdraw, then what happened? You will have authority?
Mr. Streeter just moved to adopt the hearing officer's report dismissing this matter based on the withdrawal. So we have to go through our procedure now.
Okay.
Is there a second?
Here's your hand in second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion?
I have one question.
Mr. Possession.
Attorney Bannon, your comments were really important to me, at least in understanding this. We are in Connecticut, and I'm looking at Connecticut's role. And I just want to understand what I heard was correct that you said, because it was important to me, at least. So in your role, in Connecticut's role, and its relationship to CMS, whatever documents you thought were responsive, that in our role as agent, Connecticut role, you, and in fact, you said you volunteered some extras, that fell within Connecticut's authority.
Correct.
You believe that the Connecticut Department of Health has handed over.
Correct.
Thank you very much. That's very important to me, at least personally.
Correct. And for what it's worth, there was an exhibit that I entered at the underlying hearing that was a response to Ms. Bradford from CMS outlining their production of documents to her, and that was from July of 2023.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Any further discussion? All right, hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Farish.
Yes.
Mr. Fuzashi.
Yes.
Mr. Goldstein.
Yes.
Mr. Gansman.
Yes.
Mr. Hankins.
Yes.
Mr. Streeter.
Yes.
And myself, Olenegan, yes. Passes unanimously. Thank you, ma'am. Good luck to you. Attorney Heidi.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Attorney Heidi.
Any more items you're coming?
You can take a break. Might as well just stay there.
No.
Thank you. Thank you. So number three.
Yeah, so the next four items, 3, 4, 5, and 6, are considerations of requests to deny leave to schedule a hearing pursuant to 1-206B2. And I might just deal with 3, 4, and 5 first, which the first one is the named complainant, and 3, 4, and 5 is Daniel Real. So it's the same complainant and the same respondents of Plainfield Public Schools. And in each one of those three, so in 3, 4, and 5, and docket numbers 2021-054, 2021-0598, and 2021-0664, Mr. Real was complaining about meetings that occurred quite a while ago now, where apparently the board asked people who were attending the meetings to wear a mask, and Mr. Real then did not attend the meeting because that was a requirement of the meeting. We have communicated with him to let him know that that was not within our jurisdiction, that it was during the time of a health emergency and there were executive orders in place, and we did not feel that we had jurisdiction over that particular issue. So that's the case with 3, 4, and 5, and why I am putting them before you to affirm my decision not to schedule a hearing, as they present a claim beyond our jurisdiction. So.
Any questions? We entertain a motion.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Strieger, I move that we agree to the executive director's decision to summarily deny leave to schedule hearings. In dockets FIC 2022-0544, docket FIC 2021-0598, and docket FIC 2021-0664.
This is Commissioner Hankins, second for all three.
Motion's made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Farish?
Yes.
Commissioner Fizashi?
Yes.
Mr. Goolsbee?
Yes.
Mr. Gansman?
Yes.
Mr. Hankins?
Yes.
Mr. Streeter?
Yes.
And myself, all needed, yes. Passes unanimously.
Thank you. And now on to item 6, which is again a consideration of request to deny leave to schedule a hearing pursuant to 1206B2. And this involves Daryl Stankuna versus Chairman, State of Connecticut, Judicial Branch, Council on Probate Judicial Conduct. And I think Mr. Stankuna wanted to at least be, he wanted me to inform you that he is in the audience,
so,
which I'm now informing you.
Mr. Stankuna.
There is no, this is not an arguable matter.
Wait, one second, sir. Just
go ahead.
We can permit argument if we.
Thank you.
There's a vote. I'm not saying we're.
I know, but thank you for being fair on that and not closing the door.
You generally do not, sir.
No, I appreciate it.
You generally
it.
Do not.
I do
so
appreciate it.
You'd have to have a motion, seconded, and everyone, we'd have to have a majority agree that they would allow
it. I'd like to make a motion if I can.
You can't make the motion. Only
this commission. I would like one of the chair to make a motion.
No, I don't make the motion, so.
Not the chair, but the rest of the commissioners. Yeah. Someone can make the chair.
So I just wanted to explain to you the process because I know you've been waiting patiently.
No, I appreciate it.
So I just wanted. Does anyone wish to make a motion so that Mr. Stankuna can be heard?
This is Commissioner Hankins. Mr. Stankuna did draft something in response to the denial, so I think that's what he would say. I mean, he put pen to paper, so I would say I'm not going to go along with it. I mean, he said what he said, so I'm not. I don't think there's anything more to add.
I might, in all of our notices, we do indicate, and this is for the statute, that parties are entitled to submit argument or an affidavit in support of why their complaint should go forward. And so that is what Kuna received. He did submit something which has been distributed to everybody. So that's where we're at this time, and you can decide later if you'd like to make that motion too. I don't think it has to occur right now, but perhaps I could just outline what is in the notice about my decision. So this complaint, as indicated, is filed against the judicial branch. Certain entity within the Judicial Branch Council on Probate Judicial Conduct. And as you know, our jurisdiction over the judicial branch is quite limited to administrative functions, which is defined by the courts and quite narrowly. And in reading this complaint, it's a request for copies of the records that a judge submitted to the council on probate judicial conduct. And that would not, in my estimation, fall within the strict definition of administrative functions that the court handed down to us. So for that reason, I'm putting this before you to affirm my decision not to schedule this matter for hearing.
You know, in an abundance of caution, I sit as a probate judge in West Hartford. I'm going to recuse myself from this matter. So I'm not going to be voting on this matter. Do I have to step out of the room?
I don't think so.
Okay.
No.
Thank you.
I think so.
If it'll satisfy you.
Yeah.
I think so. No offense, but that, thank you for admitting.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
I know you're upset, but this is serious stuff.
Yep.
You're getting paid a lot of money.
Streeter. Yes, thank you, Executive Director. So just to ask the question, so it's obvious that, you know, based on your information that we lack jurisdiction to even hear this case. Do you have any comments on this?
The only thing I just see how antsy he is sitting here, and I realize we all have a full docket and things to do today, but I would move that he read his statement into the record.
Thank you. I
so
appreciate
that.
He can
just be heard verbally.
Can I also?
It has to be read just. Hold on, let me make my motion.
Right. I'm glad you're saying this because there's something I want to add to what you're saying that she's missing from the documents.
Okay, hold on. So this would be my motion. And again, they have to agree to it.
Yes,
if they
ma'am.
Don't agree, they don't
Thank
agree.
You.
But what I would move is that you read your statement as it is written. No ad libs, no anything.
I appreciate
different.
That.
Read your statement into the record. When you finish reading that last line that says Hartford, Connecticut, you say thank you. And be quiet.
I appreciate it.
That is what I would move. So I make a motion that we allow Mr. Stankuna to read his statement into the record as it is written.
There's been a motion. Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Thank you.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. Is there any discussion?
I've read it. It speaks for itself. Reading it served no purpose. That's fine. I know I'm going to get outvoted by it, but that's fine. I mean, we have other individuals here that you know, have 20 of these in a day, and we don't permit any type of discussion. So
it's not true.
It absolutely is true.
I'm going to.
It's not true.
I'm going to.
You've been to our meetings
vote
before.
Against
it's not true.
Mr. Dankuda, I believe. We're trying to be sympathetic to your, so I don't want to have to withdraw my motion. That's the motion I made and it's been seconded. So how about we vote if no commissioners have anything else to say?
Yeah, I'll take a roll call of the vote. Commissioner Parrish?
Yes.
Commissioner Fuzeci?
Yes.
Commissioner Goldsby?
Yes.
Commissioner Ganswin?
No.
Commissioner Hankins?
No.
And Commissioner Streeter, I vote no. The motion fails to pass. 3-3.
Wait, 3-3? So then you do need the chair for the...
He's recused himself.
He's
not participating.
So he can't vote.
But if it's a tie score, it's...
Fails.
It fails when it's a tie.
All right. So I want to make sure on something that I'm
no,
glad that...
We've already ruled. You have no standing here to talk.
No, it's nothing to do with
okay.
adding my statement. I want to make sure because there's been some hiding going on and the person, I don't know, what's her name, Colleen Murphy? I don't know if she was emailing me or there's a Jennifer that was emailing me. Jennifer? But
do we
the information,
have
no, but this is very important what you opened up. Is there's two statements. You don't have the other information I mailed in. You don't have it. Let me see what you got.
I'm going to make a motion that grant request of Attorney Murphy to summarily deny we schedule a hearing.
Commissioner Goldsby, second.
Okay, it's been moved and second. Is there any further comment from the commissioners? Let's see, Annie, I'll take a roll call vote. Commissioner Farish?
Yes.
Commissioner Fuzeci?
Yes.
Commissioner Goldsby?
Yes.
Commissioner Ganswin? Commissioner Hankins?
Yes.
And myself, Commissioner Streeter? Yes. Passes unanimously with one abstention.
We can have the chairman come back in.
And we'll be moving on to number seven.
Herman has gone out of the room. I think.
Yeah, I sent her to get the chairman. We'll wait till the chairman.
Maybe it's the head that wears the crown. Yeah, there it is.
He's got 2 months left.
Again, it was getting hot.
Maybe it's not so hot.
I got Lemke, so that's what I thought. Okay.
You should have recalled me. Are
we back on? All right.
So we just have a brief report on pending appeals.
One new appeal. So this case, you may recall, I wasn't here when it went forward before the commission. It was Mark Lemke versus First Select Woman, Town of Westport. It was my decision that the commission adopted. I was in court that day. So in this case, Mr. Lemke made a request to the First Select Woman, and he asked for her records and her predecessor's records, the former First Select Man. But he also asked her for the town operations manager's records, the fire department's records, the P&Z director's records, the town attorney's records. And I tried very hard to explain to him that under the Supreme Court case of Lash, I couldn't get at the requests for the other agencies' records because he'd have to make a request to those agencies. I think what was confusing for him was that the First Select Woman kind of forwarded out his request, and then what they agreed to give him was given to her, and then she disclosed those records. But the records that were claimed exempt by those other departments to whom a request was never issued. So we adjudicated the First Select Woman's records and the former First Select Man's records. And we looked at those in camera and made decisions about whether they should be disclosed or not. But I didn't have the jurisdiction to get at the other departments' claims of exemption. And really all he needs to do is make a request to those departments to bring it back before us, and then we would have the ability to look. But instead, he filed an appeal. So we'll just deal with it in court.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. So under... item 8, Executive Director's Report. I just want to let you all know that a number of us went to conference, the Council on Governmental Ethics Laws, and I believe you were sent our very well done report that we put out on legislation and litigation across the country. That we try to do everything from the last time we went to the conference, so hopefully you'll take a look at that. We try to highlight some of the trends in there, and we had a number of people on staff working on that, and I think it came out really great. The conference was really great. A lot of FOI sessions. We had, I think, 5 FOI sessions, and talked about all the hot topics. AI, personal privacy, all the things that we see here all the time, but it's really great to speak with other colleagues from other states who do this kind of work. And even somebody from the Office of Government Information Services on the federal level, which they don't decide cases like we do. They act more like a mediator, but there's a lot of movement afoot to try to actually change the nature of that operation. It's obviously much harder to wrap your mind around the records that the federal government deals with, but that's one of the critiques that there's no mechanism for people to go complain. They do have to typically go to court on the federal level. Anyhow, just wanted to let you know about that. We were away for a few days last week with that, and then we got word that our library is going to undergo the transformation that we've been waiting on for quite a little while. We're going to set up 3 new workstations in there. We went from hearing no word, no word, no word to we must do this next Friday. Or else incur fees for a company to store this furniture at their warehouse. So we are moving forward with that, and that'll change the way it looks and allow us to accommodate new employees, and even if we get couple more, we might be able to fit them in there. So I think that's that under staff reports. I let you all know that Jennifer Miller is leaving the commission. Is Jen still here? She is. Looking at Kate, you're not leaving, right? But Jen will be leaving us at the end of the month, and a couple little things she has to wrap up before she does that. So thank her for her service to the commission. And for us, that means we have 3 attorney slots now that will be open, and we're conducting some interviews for that starting, I think, tomorrow. So keep going at that. Legislative report, nothing right now, and no new business.
Mr. Chairman, can I ask Attorney Murphy a question?
Sure.
Does the are all your resources online now so that you don't need a library, or does losing your library space cause you a problem?
Our library, I think, was used for conferring more than the materials that were in there.
Okay.
There are a few old school people who we really wanted to hold on to the physical books that have all the court decisions in them, but the things that we need to keep, we will store downstairs. So what we are losing there is a space to have a private conversation, to put briefs together, review in camera. So that's unfortunate for us, but it's just the one half of the library. We will still have our copier in there, and we have to store a lot of current files in there as well. So
we're using
every possible inch of space that we have.
Is this the space used by the hearing officers when they're holding meetings?
This area basically is.
Have one space for hearing officer.
Right. Session. And we were using that space. We used it on occasion to conduct hearings, the ones that involve prisoner hearings where the prisoners would not be attending, so it wouldn't be an issue with getting people
in
there.
And all these other conference rooms on both sides here, are they usable by various agencies on request?
Yes, you have to calendar them out. I mean, for us, our issue is that we have all our recording equipment in here that at this time can't just switch over to another room.
Okay, got it. So for here, the recording equipment can't be used. Mm-hmm. So we can't really use those rooms that much for that purpose.
Right.
Thank you.
Right.
It's a lot of space.
Yes.
Sometimes you, sometimes not, from my experience.
Right, right. Today, it was you.
Today.
As we know.
So. For the attorney positions, are you just, is there a new recruitment number for the empty space? Or since you were already interviewing, is it just expanding the number of attorneys you're hiring?
To be determined. There are rules that you can, you know, this is a Jen's departure is brand new, so we haven't done anything yet with that. But when we go through the process, if there is a candidate in that group, an extra candidate that we liked, we may be able to, depending on the timing, if our posting for the new position is within a reasonable amount of time, we might be able to select from that, the pool that we have.
Can I ask one more pet peeve?
Now.
Is all our space handicap accessible? People could want to come to our hearings, or
I don't know. That's a topic we haven't really brought up. I mean, it seems
you
can
get in.
Yeah.
Seems
yeah.
Like
you just in theory.
No, I mean it seems that
even think about the front access.
I'm not surprised. I used to be, but I could still get in here.
No,
you know,
it will make me feel sometime just to know that, yes, our space is handicap accessible in case somebody was coming to a hearing or was, had reason or attorney. Anyway, that it's, there's a handicap accessible solution to coming to our hearing.
I believe there is, though, because the main entrance is right at the door.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'd love to actually determine that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Thank you very much. It's a pen. Okay. Little thing I asked, please. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, just want to thank Jennifer.
Yeah.
Best of luck in the future. But thank you for your
thank
service.
Thank you. You're here.
That's all
thank
I had.
Yeah.
I'll motion to adjourn if there's nothing further.
Motion's made and seconded. Is there any? Well, I guess we don't have discussion. I'll read the roll call. Those in favor. Mr. Farish?
Yes.
Mr. Fuzashi?
Yes.
Mr. Goldsby?
Yes.
Mr. Gansway?
Yes.
Mr. Hankins?
Yes.
Mr. Streeter?
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan? Yes. We're adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you.